final scripture lesson this morning that comes from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, and they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Amen.
And would you please join me in a centering prayer? God, our God, we cry out. During this busy time of year, worry and anxiety can come for us. So we pray that you would draw us near, that you would calm our anxieties and fear, and that you would speak your word that all people may hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Even if you don't yet have a formal position within a company, it's likely that you understand what a job description is based on conversations you may have overheard or experiences you may have had. I first learned the meaning of a job description when I was 12 years old. My older brother Nicholas had been a paperboy for a couple of years, and I saw the money he made and the things that he could buy with that money, and I wanted that too. So I applied to the Grand Rapids Press, and a few weeks later, I got a paper route. But before I started delivering papers, I met with my boss, and he gave me a sheet of paper, and on the top of that sheet of paper were the words, paper route job description. And listed below that in bullet point form were all of the responsibilities. The papers needed to be delivered Monday through Friday by 5 p.m., and on the weekends by 8 a.m. I was to collect the bills monthly, and I was to use rubber bands to wrap up the paper on sunny days, and on rainy or snowy days, I was to use a plastic bag. And of course, don't tear the paper, and make sure it gets put in the right location. So over the next 2 years, I delivered papers on time as much as I could. I collected the bills, I wrapped the papers according to the weather conditions, and I placed them where they were supposed to go. So for Mrs. Johnson, I put the paper on her chair next to her door so that she didn't have to bend over to pick it up. And for the Hooksumas, I put the paper at their side door. And for Mr. Mooney, I put the paper between the screen door and the big wooden door so it wouldn't get damaged. The responsibilities of that job were relatively simple, and they were all outlined in the job description. But then I moved with my family to a new town, and I had to find a new job. Being a busboy was way more complicated than being a paperboy. The restaurant manager gave me a printout of the job description, and it had more responsibilities listed on it. At my new job, I had to clear off the tables and wipe them down. I had to take the dishes to the back and wash them and stack them neatly. I had to take out the trash, fill the ice bins, clean up spills, refill water glasses, and that list just seemed to go on and on. It was at that restaurant that I realized just how important job descriptions are. Without it, I wouldn't have known what my job was all about or even the purpose of my job. I also would not have known what I was held accountable for or the scope of my tasks. Job descriptions are important because they tell us what we are to do and why we are doing them, and also when we take a job, what we're signing up for. So those two jobs helped me to understand the importance of job descriptions. And perhaps it's because of those experiences that I see Isaiah's words in chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, as sort of a Christian job description. And placed towards the end of the book, Isaiah states exactly what his responsibilities were. He had been anointed by God to bring good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to comfort those who were mourning. Isaiah had a tall order before him because years earlier the Israelites had been overrun by the Babylonians. Their homes had been destroyed, their markets and their schools were torn down and flattened, and their places of worship had been turned into piles of rubble. An entire community had been brought to ruin, and Isaiah's job was to bring healing and restoration into the Israelite community. Isaiah's job was daunting. There is no question about that. But I think it would be a mistake to overlook God's word in verse 1. It reads, "The Lord has anointed me." Isaiah had been dedicated by God to a specific set of responsibilities. He had been dedicated to a special purpose. Isaiah, however, did not carry out his responsibilities alone. God was present with Isaiah, helping him to restore the devastated Israelite community. And as Isaiah worked to bring healing into the Israelite community, he was a prophetic voice, calling and leading God's people to accountability. And through it all, God was before him, God was behind him, and God was beside him. God was with him as he fulfilled his responsibilities because God loved him and because God had anointed him. And today, baptism is similar in one way and another to Isaiah's anointing. When we are baptized, the water symbolizes our anointing as God's daughters and sons. The baptismal waters also seal upon us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah was not alone. God was with him. We are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit with us, we carry out our responsibilities. In other words, as baptized people, we live into our Christian job description. And Isaiah 61 verses 1 through 3 tells us exactly what our responsibilities are. But there is a great difference between a standard job description and our responsibilities as Christ followers. A job description tells us about our work life, what we have to do, and in how much time we have to do it. Isaiah's words tell us about our life's work, what we are to do, who we are to do it for, and how long we are to do it. I was a paper boy for 2 years. I was a bus boy for a couple of more. And maybe you've worked as a babysitter or a teacher or a nurse or an engineer or a lawyer for a time. That's your work life. Your anointing and baptism means that you have a life's work. Our life's work is to restore people and broken communities. Isaiah was called to bring healing into his community. We are called to bring healing into our community. Isaiah's words led the Israelites, and they lead us too. So being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit assures us that we do not carry out our work alone. We do so through the power of the Holy Spirit. We bring good news. We bind up the brokenhearted. We proclaim liberty, and we comfort those who mourn. And we do it all by the power of the Holy Spirit, having been gifted with abilities to bring goodness and betterment into this world. So together, anointed by God in our baptism, we work to restore those within our communities who have been devastated by life circumstances, displaced from their homes, just as the Israelites were long ago. So we plug into Habitat for Humanity and build houses for those in need. And together we share our time and our resources with those in our communities whose belongings have been taken away from them, just as the Babylonians did to the Israelites. So we give of our resources to feed the children at Whittier Primary School. And together we connect with those who are struggling to keep up. So we give of our time, and we become reading buddies, mentors at Thomas Jefferson Primary School, helping those who are having a hard time in school, and strengthening our bonds with our neighbors. And together, we come alongside of those who are facing the holidays for the first time without their husband or their wife, without their grandson or with their son. And we lament with them. We cry out for comfort and peace. We cry out for the coming of Christ. And together, we proclaim the good news of the grace given to us by Jesus Christ to everyone everywhere, to our family members, to our friends, and to our neighbors. So we invite people that we know and that we don't know to join with us in Bible study or at a community outreach event or at a Sunday morning worship service. Those are our responsibilities as Christ followers. That is our life's work. As a paper boy, I knew exactly what I had to do and in how much time I could do it. And as a busboy, I knew exactly what I had to do and in how much time I had to do it. As a follower of Christ, the prophet Isaiah has made our life's work clear, and for how long we are to do it, until for our entire lives. And what are we to do? We are to bring the good news of the gospel to people here in our community and around the world, always. We are to bind up the brokenhearted, caring for and lifting up those people who have been bullied, mocked, or pushed aside, always. We are to proclaim freedom in Jesus Christ to those who are captives, always. We are to comfort those who mourn, always. And as we fulfill our God-given responsibilities, we do not do so alone. In our baptism, we have been set aside as the daughters and sons of God. And in our baptism, we have been given the Holy Spirit, who is always present with us. We bring restoration to all communities devastated by suffering of any kind. We bring restoration into our community, and we allow others to restore us when we are suffering. That is who we are. That is our life's work. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I invite you to lift your hearts with me as we pray for our church, as we pray for our community, and we pray for all of creation. Please join me in prayer. God who restores, you have done great things for us, and we rejoice. You so often have filled us with laughter, even turning tears of sadness into shouts of joy. You send prophets to point the way to justice and show us who you are. We thank you for sending good news to us and for repairing so much that we have devastated. In this season of light, we lift up in prayer so many who wait in darkness. People oppressed by poverty and discrimination, by political upheaval or dangerous rulers, people imprisoned wrongly and those imprisoned justly. Right what is wrong among us and in us, restore us to you, to others, and to ourselves. Make the brokenhearted whole again. Comfort those who mourn. Repair our ruined cities. In all the jostling and jingling of these days, do not let us lose sight of you or whom you have called us to be, the people you have called us to serve, people who are in need of healing, people who are overlooked or underserved, the ones who are lost, and the ones we have made to feel little and least. Light of the world, live among us always, full of grace and peace and truth, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.